Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 52 of Season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is David Brooke of Real Print Review. Is David Brooke of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
It's good to be back.
I don't even know where that came from, but that's fine. Yes, it's good to be back, even though I totally don't remember where you're from.
No worries. Yeah, no, it's good to be back. And yeah, we're going to meet some more of the cast in this episode. So that's good, good, good.
Yes, we will. All right, so minute 52 begins with the mayor continuing to be concerned and ends with Petroni having a very pessimistic thought. So we ended things yesterday with the mayor being quite grumpy about the fact that his deputy mayor wants him to actually go and join everyone in downtown where the hijackers are. So yeah, he's not happy about that. And this minute begins with the mayor going, "Warren, suppose the hijackers start shooting at me." And he goes, "Will you stop? They have no reason to shoot at you." He goes, "Why? Do you think they're from out of town?" he gives off a little bit of a chuckle. And he goes, "Get dressed, Al. I'll do the jokes." And then, as we discussed yesterday, at this point, the music starts playing very, very fast and loudly as it continues with hands and people counting money. That's what you got to do. You do what you can in order to count that $1 million as easily as possible. And you see these people are really, they're counting it pretty fast.
Mm. It's quite a few different machines going on there as well.
There's different machines, different people.
Some are bundling it, some are counting it, I guess. I don't know, but
yeah, but I think that part of the whole idea here is just to make it seem as if things are a lot busier than it really is.
Yeah. Because it's quite a tense part in the film. They're obviously racing at the time to get the money counted before the time is up.
Correct.
And that the hijackers have given them.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, again, it's part of the whole idea here is they want us to feel the tension of everything going on, and that the clock is ticking.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they don't have much time to get all this done. So
yeah.
Again, I like the way that they do this with the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's an editing technique, I guess, isn't it? Because obviously we know they're still counting the money, but they keep jumping back to it just to keep reminding you and keep drumming up that tension and that excitement. So, yeah, it's all down to the editing, as usual.
That's true. Do you think that the way that the edit this is done so that it makes it seem as if there's a lot more money than there really is?
I guess 1 million notes is still a lot to get through, but yeah, they are milking it, I guess, by cutting back and back to it and showing countless kind of notes flying past the machines and things. But I guess 1 million, although what is it, 100? I guess they're in $100 bills though, so
yeah,
there's a lot of notes, but I guess it's not a silly number, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay, makes sense. They're constantly switching between the various characters that are counting money, and you see that they're all doing it in slightly different ways. But one of the things I tried catching and that I didn't find any mistakes with that is that these bills are all either 50s or 100s. Not like they're going to throw in like a whole bunch of 20s and like no one's going to be paying attention. It doesn't really make a difference. But again, I like the way that they put that all together there.
Question is, would they?
They have like sorting machines and stuff like that also, which is weird.
Well, they've definitely used real money, do you reckon? I imagine they probably would have done. They might have just gone to a bank or whatever and
Well, it depends
shot
if
it
they were
there.
able to film in the Fed or not, you know. The shot changes, and we're back in the command center of the trains, and we see a bunch of people on radios responding to something, you know, and you know we can't really hear what it is that they're all saying. They're just a pool of train masters, I guess, trying to figure out the whole thing. And then Frank comes out, and we hear him go, "Hold your water, will ya?" And he goes, "All right, shut up, and I'll tell you what we're gonna do." Yeah. Now listen, I want all, and you know he gets cut off. We can't really hear what he's doing, but we see that Frank is doing all he can to take command of the, you know, every of trying to sort out the problem within the railroad. You know, again, he's not involved in the hostage situation or anything like that. As far as he's concerned, you know, let's find solutions for whatever other problems we might have. You know, and then we hear over the loudspeaker, "Garber, come in, Garber, come in, Garber." And then he goes, "Who are we waiting for, Z?" So we see that you know finally Patron and Patroni Patron, Patron. Wait, his name is that's his name. It's Patron, isn't it? For some reason, I'm now getting
I can't
convinced. I'm
remember.
getting confused. I'm getting confused with airport.
Patroni. Oh yeah, Rico Patroni,
Rico
Jerry
Patron.
Stiller.
Okay, yeah, Rico Patron. So it is. Maybe they're related. I'll have to ask Jim when he's on in a few weeks from now. You know, he's an expert on airport, so maybe he'll be able to tell us if there's some connection between them. Because his name is Joe Patron, I think. So they basically get into this conversation trying to figure out what's going on. What's going, you know, like what's holding things up and stuff like that. And Garber then says, "Beats me." So you have any idea what that phrase means?
Beats me. Well, yeah, it means like I don't know sort of thing, basically, but I don't know where it comes from.
Right. It means either I don't know or I don't understand. It expresses confusion or a lack of knowledge about a situation. Similarly, saying something is baffling or beyond your comprehension. The phrase can be a short response to a question, such as, "Any idea who won the game?" And it goes, "Beats me." And that's exactly what we got here. What are we waiting for? Beats me. Right. So they know that the term came about in the mid 19th century, and there's a theory that it was related to a winning hand in poker, where one player would concede defeat by saying the opponent's hand beats me. And another idea is beat was once used to mean astonished or at a loss. So beats me implies a situation so perplexing that it leaves one at a loss. So I mean, I guess it's an interesting way to try to describe that. You know, and then the question is asked. Listen, how long does it take to get all that money together anyway? And he goes, "We'll never make it. These passengers are dead ducks." So Rico isn't very optimistic about their chances here. You know, as far as he's concerned, it doesn't look like it's gonna work out for the hostages if this is the speed in what they're doing things. You know. Did you notice that there is like a phone behind Rico the entire time?
Let's have a look again. Oh yeah, the red one or the one. Yeah, big red phone. It seems special.
Yeah, it made me wonder like why you know for me it reminds me of the you know the it was well actually maybe you know the bat
The bat phone.
the bat phone, but I think the bat phone was black.
I can't
I'm
remember.
only
I feel like it was a
remembering it.
colour. I thought it was a colour. Oh
Maybe
well, I
it
might be
was.
thinking of the 60s, depends which from the 60s show you mean. I can't remember.
Yes, from the 60s show. I'll have to ask Niall and John about that
It's been a
one.
long time since I've seen it. I did used to watch it as a kid, though. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was Red. Yeah, it was. Yeah, a bat phone is a private high priority telephone line for critical calls.
Maybe, maybe Jerry Stiller must be Batman.
Maybe. Right. It basically was a hotline type of thing. Interesting. So yeah. So they're waiting for Batman to show up in New York. He's in Gotham. He might be in New York. Who knows?
It's very similar.
So he uses the phrase. And he says, "Well, the passengers are dead ducks. So what is a dead duck?"
I guess it's just going from the kind of idea of a duck shoot sort of thing, the easy target, just yeah, set him up and gun him down, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it actually means something or something doomed to failure.
Yeah.
It could also be literal, but the idea here is that
I was thinking more about where it came from, I guess, rather than, but yeah.
right. You're saying maybe it came from
Came
the
from the
fact
idea
that.
of the duck hunt, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
Right, so it originated in political slang in the 1820s, and it referred to a person who has lost power of influence. There was a proverb from beforehand that people would use that was "Never waste powder on a dead duck," which suggests it's pointless to expend effort on something or someone already ruined or beyond hope. So yeah, that's it's interesting that he would throw this phrase out there.
Yeah, it's not like commonly known. Well, yeah, it's not one I'm super familiar with, but you kind of I get the meaning. Obviously, it's pretty clear, but yeah, it's not one I've heard a lot.
Right. Going back a little bit to Frank, I like the fact that Frank is doing his best to keep everyone, including himself, calm. This
Yeah.
is not a simple situation, and they're going through a lot. And as pissed off as Frank is about Kaz and about everything he needs to do right here, he's still doing it. He hasn't said, "All right, I give up. I'm not doing anything." He's trying to sort out the backup of the trains and stuff like that. And at least Dick O'Neill does a great job of making it seem as if we really can believe him in what he's doing there. So I like the way that they did that. And that's the way that this minute ends. So did you have anything else you wanted to add about this minute?
I had to talk about the kind of shot in the middle of this minute. There's a really cool shot where it starts when they rip tear the do they tear something off this yellow kind of some kind of message. I don't know if it's like an old school fax type thing, but yeah, they rip off the paper and then the camera kind of pulls around and you follow is it Dick O'Neill? I can't remember his name. Follow him around. It's a really nice shot, a kind of nice
Dick
moving
O'Neill, Dick
shot.
O'Neill.
Dick O'Neill, yeah. And also, if you notice briefly on that bit of Dick O'Neill, he bangs into the wall in that long shot. And I do wonder if, because it's quite
Oh,
an
you're
elaborate
right.
shot, I wonder
Oh,
if because it's an elaborate shot, whether they just kept it in, or I'll just go with it, or if it's just something he did to kind of the actor maybe did on purpose to kind of show he's just kind of trying to just barge through to do his thing and just yeah, almost a symbolic kind of thing, because he's a bit of a yeah kind of he's not a subtle he's a kind of a smooth kind of guy. He just barges in there, doesn't he?
yeah, sure.
But I
So this
do
is
like that
definitely a
shot.
Star Wars. It's a Star Wars moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh wow. I didn't even notice that he bumped it because he. It seems as if it was by accident in real life.
Yeah.
That he didn't say, "Oh, let's do this. Let's do a method act. Where we can
I
hang into the
think,
wall."
yeah, they either kept it in just for realism or they didn't notice. It's quite subtle, I guess, but yeah. I kind of like I like little details like that.
Yeah, I love little details like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one. All right, so every Tuesday we have a segment called Bluesday Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five Robert Shaw performances.
Right. I am going to go. All right, I'm looking at the wrong list. Okay, cool. Yeah. Top five Robert Shaw performances for me then. Ooh, I'm going to start with The Sting. I've not seen it for a long time, but I used to love The Sting, and I can remember he's a memorable villain in that. And then next up, I am going to go with the Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. I keep putting this in all these lists. I know it's kind of cheating, but it's such a good film. But
You're
yeah,
allowed to. Of course, you're allowed.
yeah, but I do love Shaw in this. I think he again he makes a great villain. He plays villains a lot. And the next film I wanted to bring up is just something a bit different. Is The Caretaker. This is a kind of a Harold Pinter adaptation directed by Clive Donner. And it's yeah, I got sent it to review, and it's a really good little film. It's kind of a chamber piece. It's all pretty much set in this almost solely set in this bedsit, this house, and Robert Shaw is there. He's put up an old homeless man who's played by Donald Pleasance in his house to help him get back on his feet. And Aston's and Robert Shaw's brother, Alan Bates, also lives there, and he's suspicious of this stranger and doesn't understand why he chose to let him stay. And it kind of goes on from there. It's quite an unusual film, as you might expect coming from Harold Pinter, but it's full of just absolutely fantastic performances. It's based on a well, as Pinter, it's based on a play, so it has a bit of a staginess to it, but all three actors are absolutely stunning. So I had to mention that. So yeah, The Caretaker.
Okay,
And
well,
then
first of all, you should know you're not the first person to mention The Caretaker.
oh nice, okay.
No,
That's good to know.
your partner in crime, Andy, also has it on there.
Excellent. Yeah, it's called, I think it's called The Guest in the
Yes,
US or in some other
that is
places.
correct.
So yeah. And then I've gone for some bigger hitters for the top two. And so number two I've gone with From Russia with Love, where again he plays a fantastic villain, a Bond villain no less in this one. He gets a really good kind of one of the kind of best, a really kind of pretty tough and brutal kind of punch up against Bond in this, which I was always enjoyed. So yeah, he's great. He's really good in that film. It's one of my favorite Bond films. And then finally, I imagine a lot of people have this high in their list, and that is Jaws. As soon if anyone ever mentions Robert Shaw, I just go straight to Jaws because it's one of my favorite films of all time. And he is so memorable in this film. He really steals the show whenever he's on screen. So it had to be my number one, really. Yeah, fantastic film, fantastic performance.
Okay, that is fair. Jaws is the only movie so far in the of the 10 weeks that we've done where it's the only movie that appears on everyone's list so far.
Wow. Crazy.
And the lowest is a 3.
Wow.
And that was your good friend Andy. All right, and now we have the daily game of Name That Remake. So once again,
Okay.
let's spin the wheel and see what movie remake David gets. Around and around the wheel goes. The original movie came out in 1967, and the remake in 2005. A woman who brings home her boyfriend to introduce him to her family, and they are shocked because he is definitely not what they expect.
I want to say Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but I didn't realize that had been remade.
Yes, it has.
But did it have a name change?
It was called Guess Who?
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
With Ashton Kutcher and Zoe Saldana and Bernie Mac.
Okay.
I gotta say it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. It's not as profound as the original, because the original one with Spencer Tracy, Catherine Hepburn, and Sidney Poitier is amazing. But this one is just so fun because, it has the role reversal. The fiance is white as opposed to being a fiance of color, I guess you can say. And Bernie Mac is just hilarious in the way that he acts in that movie.
So, it seems to totally pass me by. I'm looking it up online as well. I just don't recognize it at all. It just totally passed me by, this film. Cool. I'll have to check it out.
Well, I think you should. You should. Again, it's fun. It doesn't take itself seriously, but
yeah.
It has some great scenes in it. All right. So, David, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Well, you can find me at blueprintsreview.co.uk, where I review plenty of films. Kind of, I tend to lean towards the classic, the cult, the world cinema, kind of slightly, or not necessarily totally under the radar, but away from the modern mainstream stuff usually.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. If you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movieround.net. And you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. So, until tomorrow,
tschüss. Gesundheit.